but that's the old me. Shouting out of my window, throat down, 'cause I don't care anymore. Said I don't care.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today, whether you're getting ready for the FSU football game coming up here in just a half an hour on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We will get you to that game in just a few minutes, and we will have a shorter show today as a result of that, just 30 minutes today. Or whether you are listening on the podcast version of the show, which you can get anytime, anywhere, any place you want, not limited by whatever's coming on after us, although it is still the same time length for the show, so I guess it kind of is, but you get what I'm trying to say here. Anyway, no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're listening, we hope to make your day a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. My co-host is here on the line with me, Jeremy Branch. Jeremy, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. We had to move mountains to make it happen today, but I'm stoked to be able to talk about what we've got going on.
Yeah, well, we are going to dig into it. It's been about a week and a half since Gen V ended its second season on Amazon Prime, and we're going to get into that in just a minute here. But I wanted to mention something else that's kind of tangentially related as we lead into that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a comic series that just started up from DC Comics that's called DC KO, and it's basically like a... The premise is we're going to get all the superheroes together and fight. And they're going to fight each other because at the end of this bracket of, you know, Ultimate Fighting Championship DC style, whoever's left is going to take on Darkseid, and you know, they have to do this to save the universe. That's kind of the overarching plot behind this let them fight kind of matchup that's going on. And they, you know, first issue just came out, and then after the issue is over at the end, there's a bracket of everybody that's left in the contest and, you know, what the fighting level is going to be between now and then. It's a lot of big goofy fun.
Uh-huh.
But making it even more goofy fun is that they made an announcement at New York Comic Con just a couple of weeks ago that this series is not going to be limited only to the DC universe. They're actually going to have a, I don't know how many issues it is or what's going to happen, but where there are going to be other characters that are going to come in from other universes that will participate in this tournament. And The reason I bring this up is because one of those characters is somebody that people that are fans of The Boys will know very, very well. That's right. Homelander.
That's where you were going with that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think what this is leading up to, which is the battle that we all want to see, which is Superman versus Homelander.
I think we know how that goes, but it could be awesome.
Who does not want to see that? I mean, that's just such a cool, fun idea. And it's an idea that could have happened earlier than this, because when The Boys was originally released, it was published by DC Comics.
And, is that right?
Yeah, and DC, it was published as a creator-owned project through DC, and DC decided, okay, no, this is too intense for us. We can't do this. And they let Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson take their comic elsewhere. They moved over to, I believe it was Dynamite Publishing, and built this thing that we now is this massive series on Amazon Prime that is very critically acclaimed, has had a couple of spinoffs, got a couple more spinoffs coming. But now Homelander is an icon. And
majorly iconic.
Yeah, and so I think that that's going to be super cool. So some of the other iconic characters that we're going to see coming in from outside the DC universe to participate in this contest of, I won't say contest of champions because that's a Marvel thing, but this contest of comic book, well, not even only comic book icons, because we are getting some other comic book characters who are, to varying degrees, well-known. Vampirella is going to be involved. Vampirella is a very well-known comics character of some standing for some time now. Red Sonja will be involved in this. Red Sonja just had a film out recently, but is a character that actually originated in the comics. even though she's based on Robert E. Howard's world with Conan the Barbarian and everything, she did originally first appear in the comics. Comics that were at the time published by Marvel Comics, interestingly enough. We're going to see there's a character called Samantha, who is a bear from I forget the name of the series, but it's an independent comic series, again, comics. But moving outside of the realm of comics, we are also going to see Sub-Zero from the Mortal Kombat universe appear in this series. So
let's go.
There's been a longstanding bit of crossover between DC and Mortal Kombat. We've seen some DC characters show up in Mortal Kombat, including the new version does have Peacemaker as a playable character.
We have the whole Injustice games. Mortal Kombat versus DC.
Yeah, and then there is Injustice, which is a game series from DC that has featured Scorpion in every game. So, so you know, that there is a precedent here. Here's where the precedent goes out the window, though. And it is a Warner Brothers property, so it's not completely out of left field. But one of the competitors in this series from the Conjuring universe, we're going to see Annabelle.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So, yeah, it's just really like they're taking this Gonzo idea to the next level of making it even more Gonzo nuts with bringing in these outside characters. And I'm here for it, man.
It sounds so fun.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens, whether this leads to anything else. And, you know, who knows what else they've got up in their sleeve. You know, we just had the first official DC and Marvel crossover in well more than two decades come out in Deadpool Batman. And there is a Batman Deadpool bookend to that coming out a little later in the year. So Marvel published the Deadpool Batman version, and the Batman Deadpool version will be coming from DC. So, you know, Marvel and DC are working together again for the first time in decades. Is there something coming up in DCKO?
Us in some really interesting directions.
Is it only a matter of time before we see these franchises meet on the big screen? I mean, whether we're talking about, you know, some kind of crossover between DC and the Boys, or some kind of crossover between DC and Marvel, you know, there's varying levels that these things could happen at. But, you know, just to wrap it back around to what's going to be the main topic here, what would you see like DC entering the universe of the Boys looking like?
It's really interesting because from what I understand, DC tends to be pretty protective of, and not always, but mostly of characters like Superman, Batman, their big major pantheon. And if there's one thing that we've come to learn about the Boys and Gen V, they do not treat characters preciously. Anybody can get it at any time. And in fact, they love playing with audience expectations in that way. When you include a character like Sub-Zero, you would imagine there's going to be a level of gore. But when Mortal Kombat and DC crossed over in the video games, they took fatalities out of it because, again, they didn't want Sub-Zero ripping Wonder Woman's head off for some reason. So
yeah,
I'm real curious.
Can't imagine why they didn't want to have that as a, you know, possible thing out there. It's interesting. It's interesting how you balance that kind of thing, because obviously a lot of these franchises that are, I mean, pretty much all of these franchises that are coming into this are typically of a more graphic maturity level than the DC. I mean, maybe not Red Sonja, but even Vampirella, certainly.
Well, with DC movies lately, we've started to see them really push the envelope with people like James Gunn.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could definitely say that Peacemaker certainly pushed the envelope from a content standpoint.
In a couple of ways.
Yeah, and we're gonna possibly see, you know, we've got a Clayface movie in the works that I think is probably going to be an R-rated horror movie.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is precedent here, but we are talking pretty solidly in the superhero universe here, so don't know what's going to come of it, but I know I'm darn interested, and I hope that we get, you know, DC's been doing a lot of like blind bags lately with a lot of different variant covers, and I would like to see them do that on that, because who isn't going to be out there hunting a Superman versus Homelander cover?
I know I would.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 at AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line. And, you know, Jeremy, I still think of that as new Nine Inch Nails. And that's like...
Oh, boy, do I know that feeling.
It's like 14, 15 years old at this point. But newly relevant, because it is the last thing we hear in the season finale of Gen V. And much like I questioned... last week, and possibly the series finale, question mark? Because like Peacemaker, this feels like, because we're building up to this grand climax in the Boys universe, I see very clearly where this series, this season of Gen V leads into season 5 of the Boys.
Uh-huh.
I don't see where it leads into a potential season 3 of Gen V.
It's a really good point. And I can see exactly why you would say that.
We are at the point, and we'll put up a spoiler warning here because we don't have a long time left in the show today. So we're going to probably hit this pretty quickly. We are shortened today by the FSU pregame starting at 4:30. So we only have about 10 minutes left in the show. We're not going to get to discuss in detail. But before we get into the where this ends, what do you think about this season overall, Jeremy?
So I had a pretty love-hate relationship with it. Oftentimes you and I are on the same page and both enthusiastic to watch the same thing week after week. When I started season 2, for some reason, it just wasn't gelling with me. If you guys want to hear more about our specific conversations regarding that, you can go back and listen to the previous episode where we discussed it. It gets pretty in-depth. However, that said, as the series progressed, I got more and more invested in it as it began to tie more directly into the broader overarching story, including what is happening in the Boys. I was more invested. And by the end of it, I think it was a really strong season.
I think that I'm willing to cut a little slack on any perceived slowness early in the season. Because, you know, they did have to go back to the drawing board on this season when we lost Chance Perdomo between season 1 and season 2.
And if I may, they handled that really well.
To the extent that I think the final episode was a brilliant tribute to that young actor.
Yes,
in that the way they built up his character over the course of the season to the person that he was, the inspiration that he was to all of his friends. And the way that he is remembered to his father,
yep,
is just such a beautiful tribute to that actor. But they did have to go back to the drawing board to some extent, and I don't feel like it really suffered for it. I think that in some ways maybe this was a more interesting story than it might have been otherwise. Like,
yeah,
to have that character to be able to be a guidepost for the other characters in his absence maybe adds a little more gravitas to the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And on that, kind of similarly, the relationship with Kate how it evolved throughout the season, I also thought was touching and paid off really well.
Well, you know, we start off at a place where these characters could not possibly be more divided from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up at a place where they really have all come together and they have kind of formed a found family.
Yes.
you know, in a way that none of them has outside of this group. You know, they all have more or less in one way or the other terrible home life situations. They are all victims of the VOT system. And they've all, you know, they've at times been at each other's throats for good reason, but they've overcome that and have kind of come together as a unit. And I kind of would like it to stay that way. I don't want there to be another artificial wedge driven between any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have the little bit in the fact that we have this relationship between Jordan and Marie, that the romantic relationship is coming to an end, or appears to be coming to an end. But they, you know, they very much want to be friends and stay, you know, in each other's lives. But I think overall this season has been really good. The metaphor has been really strong. And I think that the way that this season has been integrated into the overall boys universe has been really great. I saw a criticism of season one that there were a lot of unnecessary cameos from the boys from the main series in it. And I could maybe see that argument, but there are actually probably more cameos in this season than there were in the last one, but it feels more organic. Like,
yeah, I think so. And it's, you know, as a result of what they went through, I think that it actually works really well.
Yeah, and you know, we had a couple of the Gen V characters show up in season four of The Boys as well, so there has been some fluidity there. But I think the most interesting thing in the terms of the overall universe is Homelander is a looming presence throughout this season of Gen V without Anthony Starr ever showing up in an episode.
And I wouldn't say it was a bad thing that he didn't, but no. There was a particular scene when Godolkin, you know, comes back at the end that I was like, oh, Homelander's about to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Be a problem.
I absolutely thought that too, especially when, you know, you saw him, his ID pop up on Sage's caller ID.
Yeah, and like, she sends them to voicemail.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, here comes the cameo that we've been expecting all season. But the fact that they managed to stay away from both Homelander and Butcher, to me, that really lets the show stand on its own while still being part of this universe. And while Homelander is this impending threat throughout the entire season of the show, and we see him as a poster and things like that, but the fact that Anthony Starr does not show up in person, I mean, I think that was kind of masterful.
Still one of my favorite villains in television. And it's amazing that, like you said, he's able to like just loom over the entire series without ever actually showing up.
Well, and you know, in the course of this season, you actually get to see a little bit of, again, without him showing up, that despite that Homelander is totally despicable, he is a little bit of a victim here too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of this system and of the machinations of people like Thomas Godolkin and the machinations of Vought. And there's nobody that's wholly a villain and wholly a hero. And we see that also with Stan Edgar showing up, this great character played by Giancarlo Esposito, who is not a good guy either, but it's an enemy of my enemy situation.
Did you think that they handled the reveal of Godolkin well? Was that what you were kind of expecting to happen the whole time?
I saw it coming, but I thought it was done well.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Yeah, you know, the fact that, and we'll put up the spoiler alert here for sure, the fact that Cypher was really just a human puppet for Godolkin, who was the scarred man in the iron lung that Cypher was taking care of, was... While I saw it coming, Hamish Linklater played it so well. And the fact that we got to see the human version of Cypher in this final episode, I mean, that guy just put on a clinic in acting this season.
Yes, he did.
So good.
The way they handled him unceremoniously was a little bit like, oh, yeah, this is the boys' universe, but here we are.
Yeah, no, so, so good. And, you know, I you can't discuss this though, and I wonder how much people that watch The Boys, if they are not watching Gen V, may be lost going into season five of Gen V.
Mentioned this before, so, and I think now it's definitely like that.
Because I don't see a way, that we don't see all of the main characters from Gen V showing up in season five of The Boys. Where we, this, we'll put up the big spoiler warning here because we are now going to talk about the very end of the season. At the very end of this season, they manage to overcome Cypher, and they are on the run from Vought, with Polarity staying behind to be the scapegoat. And as they're on the run, they are tracked down and basically brought into the fold of The Boys by Starlight and A-Train.
It was good to see A-Train. I like that he's had this complete babyface turn.
Yeah, it's been an interesting arc for that character, and I did not necessarily expect to see him show up at the end of the series. Wasn't totally surprised when Starlight showed up because we'd seen her earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. But the fact that A-Train is fully integrated into the team now, when you think about how much of a change that is for not just that character, but for multiple characters in this universe, because think about where this series started. The series, right. the Boys started with Huey wanting revenge because A-Train accidentally drunkenly killed his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that Huey has been able to grow enough as a character to forgive him is pretty major. You know, that scene does not happen without the character growth, not just for A-Train, but for Huey as well.
Yeah. I'm real excited to see where it goes. And to your point, I think it is going to be more like we're dealing with The Boys moving forward, and I'm okay with that. I would like to see if they continue to do different spinoffs.
Well, we know that we're going into the final season of The Boys. Assuming they don't kill all of these characters off, there could theoretically be another season of Gen V. I don't know what that would look like.
Sure.
We do know that there are at least two spinoffs in the works. There is a prequel series that's going to focus on Soldier Boy and Stormfront.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to take place in the 70s or something like that. And then there is the Boys Mexico series that is in the works as well.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the series ending with the universe ending. I just don't know what the future for these characters is going to be. And I love that I don't know what the future for these characters is going to be. I love that this is unpredictable, and I love the character growth that we've had. And that's what keeps me coming back to the show just as much as anything in the special effects or anything in the satirical nature of the show, is that these are real characters and really well done. We are out of time for this weekend. If you are here for the FSU game, get ready for the pregame. Here it comes right now. We will be back in the near future. Till then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.